Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Michigan Golf Podcast. Garrett Smith here, back with you guys. And this week on the pod, I kind of mentioned maybe a podcast or two ago that I've got the Kent County Amateur Championship coming up here, which is held in Grand Rapids out at Kauffman Golf Club, my home course, and actually just wrapped up a range session out here. And I know I mentioned before, it's hot as blazes out, but with the tournament coming up in just a few short days, I figured I better get out and hit some balls and get warmed up, both physically and mentally. Just kind of wanted to put out a quick pod and share a little bit about Kauffman with you guys. If you have played here, awesome. It's one of the great public tracks here in the Grand Rapids area, in my opinion. If you haven't, you got to check it out. I brought a coworker of mine out, and we hit some balls here last Friday. He had never been before, so it was cool sharing the place with him, and he said he's definitely going to make a tee time here soon. So always fun to bring new people out to Kauffman. So anyway, let's take a quick break for an ad, and then when we get back here, I'll share a little bit about Kauffman Golf Club and kind of what I'm doing to prepare for the Kent County Am. All right, awesome. Welcome back. And again, this week I wanted to talk about Kauffman. So if you guys have played here, I can't speak highly enough about this place. There's a good number. If you guys are from the Grand Rapids area, there's a great number of public golf courses in and around the city. And you think of places like Thornapple Point over kind of on the east side, there's Quail Ridge. You go a little bit north of here and there's Pilgrim's Run. I kind of put that one a little more in the outskirts. It's a good little bit north there in Pearson, Michigan. Otherwise, you got the Mines, and of course, where I played a couple weeks ago out at the Meadows in Allendale. And there's countless others. Those are just kind of some of my personal favorites here. But Kauffman is in not the heart of downtown, but it's on the southwest side. If you're familiar with the area, it's at 44th Street and Clyde Park. And what kind of attracts me the most to Kauffman is it's kind of a hidden gem in the way that it's tucked back here in some industrial area. Around the corner, there's a stoplight, a couple gas stations, there's a few businesses, and then all of a sudden you see this little drive and the sign for Kauffman, and you pull in and there's a really nice range on the left side. It's got a couple different tee boxes here, a few tee boxes, a handful of targets out there. It's beautiful. When it's not so hot out, it's not uncommon to see a herd of deer out back, which is a ton of fun. They come out and they'll just kind of graze around the back of the driving range and kind of take part in the action when it comes to practicing and preparing for a round of golf. And the other cool thing is the where you get the balls. I mean, it's a quick grab and go. If you're trying to do something on your lunch break, I find that to be common practice for a lot of people that come here. You show up, there's a vending machine, you either insert your cash or swipe your card and get your bucket, small, medium, or large, and it's a piece of cake. You don't have to run into the clubhouse. You don't have to deal with anything. I don't have to talk to anybody, which kind of in the COVID world right now, or post-COVID world, wherever kind of we're at with that, it's a great opportunity to just get out and keep your distance and stay safe and get some balls. I mean, they do a great job of taking care of things and sanitizing and taking the extra precautions that need to be done here. So that's, of course, nice to see. But then when you get past the range, I mean, shoot, there's a parking lot and it is full almost every single day, and it's a good sized parking lot. So this is a popular spot to play golf. And when I try and get out here, it's not uncommon for me to call. If I try and get a tee time, maybe a day or 2 days or even potentially 3 days ahead, it's not uncommon for the tee sheet to be booked until 4, 5, 6 o'clock. And this place is packed at all hours of the day from sunup to sundown. And they do a heck of a business here. And when you get around the parking lot, one of my favorite things about this place as far as a practice facility sense goes is there's a great little wedge range. They have a target green with three flags on it. They've got a practice bunker. And then this little wedge range where you can come is, you can hit shots all the way up to, I've lasered 60 yards when they've got one of the flags cut on the back of the practice green there. You can hit 60-yard wedge shots. So it's kind of a cool spot to come and work on those touch and feel shots that I've talked about in some previous podcasts. So it really helps sharpen your game from 30, 40, 50, 60 yards, and those wedge shots that are either going to A, kind of you're going to be able to flip in and make some extra birdies on short holes, or B, if you find yourself in trouble and you need to punch out and you want to know that, hey, I can knock this one back out to about 60 or 50 yards, and that can be a go-to up and down range for me, and you can kind of build that confidence there. And then the bunker's nice too. It's a good size bunker, and I don't practice out of it as often as I probably should, but I don't like to hit out of bunkers that much, so I kind of avoid those on the course and in the practice facility as well. I should probably change that though, now that I'm kind of talking about it. Might be something that I want to work on, and that way, now that I'm talking about it with you guys right now, watch me this weekend. There'll be bunker on one, bunker on two. Watch me find a few sand traps early and stuff like that. But, and then they've got a great putting green. The putting green is a good size, and it's always in great shape. It's smooth, it's fast, it's undulating, and then it's flat in areas as well. So you get that variety that you want. You can hit long putts, you can hit short putts. And again, whether you're playing competitive golf or just for fun, I mean, I'm out here almost every single day during the week and practicing. And lately it's just been on the putting green just to try and stay cool, even though I was out here for 20 minutes on Monday and I could just feel the beads of sweat running down my back as I was kind of walking around and hitting putts. So that didn't last too long. But what's cool is when I am out here and you see all these people, because you've passed by the practice green there to walk into the clubhouse, and both the first tee and the 10th tee are right there near that practice green. And so you hear people all the time just talking about how fast the greens are, how smooth the greens are. And it's not just the practice facility. The course is incredible. I've played golf here for at least, I didn't play here much prior to my time down south. I had kind of mentioned in previous podcasts, I spent a good amount of time down in North Carolina in Wilmington. My wife and I lived down there for a few years. But when we moved back here in 2016, that's when I kind of took Kauffman on as my home course. And I just playing here for the last 4 years, and I've played golf with the superintendent and the head pro here. And they're both just great guys, and they take a lot of pride in the facility, in the service, and in everything that Kauffman as a city muni type golf course has to offer. And so, again, if you do want to make a tee time, call ahead, jump online, book a few days ahead at least, because you're going to want prime picks. So do that. And right now, this time of year, I recommend getting out early. I think they shoot first tee time. At least it used to be in the 6 o'clock hour. I'm not sure what it is right now, but get out there, beat the heat, and stay hydrated. But to kind of talk about the course, hole 1 and 10, they kind of share this teeing area there on the top of the hill right outside the clubhouse, right next to the practice green. And hole 1, we'll kind of start there, is honestly probably my least favorite hole on the golf course, and for a couple of reasons. And for a golf course I love, the first tee is a place that no matter what, whether you're playing casually with friends or you're playing competitively, they don't call them first tee jitters for nothing. And I play money games out here with guys. It's a riot, and that first tee box will get the blood pumping. You'll feel the nerves, and the reason for that is it's downhill and it's not a long hole. It's got to be maybe 380 ish, but it's got a wide landing area, but its widest point is probably 190 to 200 yards out. And this is why this is difficult. There's a huge pond on the right, big pond on the right, that just attracts 90% of the shots that I hit. So that always leads me to kind of some anxiety. And then there's a stream up the left. And so if you miss left, you're in hazard. If you miss right, you're in hazard. And on top of that, if you play kind of, I tend to play conservatively off this tee, and I'll hit maybe a 5-iron, maybe a 4. And what happens is you hit the widest part of that landing area at 2 bills. But then at 380 yards, you're looking at anywhere from 7-iron or 6-iron in to a green that is, again, pitched up, angles from front right to kind of back, it kind of angles across a little bit, so you're not hitting like to the fat part of the green. It's very narrow on your approach, and there's a couple bunkers to protect it, and if you go along, you're in the junk again down the hazard. So it to me is a very difficult first hole, and it's just it's one of those that you want to get off to a good start, but you're going to have to grind. It's going to make you work for it. But what's cool is after that first hole, for me, I'm throwing a lot of shade at it because it gives me a lot of anxiety. And so I'm crossing my fingers right now. If anybody from the West Michigan Golf Association is listening, I'd like to tee off 10. Again, Garrett Smith, I'd like to tee off 10 today, Saturday, and that'd be awesome. So that way I can get 9 holes in before I get to my anxious area. But after you get through the first hole, the course really opens up for you, and there's a ton of scoring opportunities, which is, again, why I love this golf course so much. Hole 2 is a great par 5. You tee off, it's downhill, uphill, and then it's reachable in 2 for me anyway, and for a lot of the guys that I play with. Hole 3 is another great hole where they kind of put you in a risk-reward position where you can hit an iron off the tee again to the fat part of the fairway, but then there's a tree that can potentially kind of cause some trouble on your approach shots, or you can hit driver and go right over the top of everything if you can cover all this, and then you're flipping a wedge in. So it's another great, awesome birdie opportunity to kind of get off to a little bit of a good start. And then you get a par three. That's a good hole. It's just uphill, a huge green. And then five is another one that causes me some anxiety, even though it's probably the straightest hole on the golf course, I'd guess, maybe besides 11, which is another par five. But hole five, I like to play a draw. And so you aim up the right side of five. It's, again, not that long of a hole, probably 400, 410, somewhere in there from the back tees where I usually play. But if you're aiming up the right side, for me to kind of swing one back into the fairway, you're almost aiming back towards two green. And what's difficult for me is two green is reachable, and I have a lot of scar tissue and a lot of inner demons from this Kent County Am, and trying to rip a hard draw down five and blocking it out and hitting it over three green. And so I've yelled four a fair number of times on that hole, and so that one kind of worries me a little bit. But I mean, the message here is maybe don't hit driver. If I talk myself through things like this, you're thinking, all right, dude, driver's a problem. Maybe hit that three wood, kind of lay back. I mean, again, not a terribly long hole, so you're still going to have a short shot into the green. So I might do that this weekend. I think five might be a three wood hole. Because left is no joke. Left's out of bounds, and you don't want to go play over there anyway. So that's not even worth considering. And then hole six, seven, eight's hard, nine is hard, but then 10, 11, 12, this is kind of where I like to get into the meat of the golf course and really get into some scoring opportunities. Because six for me is an awesome par four. It's short. The landing area really pinches, but it's a slight dogleg left. And again, it usually during the summer with the wind out of the south, it's predominantly downwind. And so it's maybe 360 or so. If that, I don't know, I'd have to look at a scorecard, but either way, it's a hole where you can bomb driver, you have nothing to fear, there is out of bounds left, but the tee box aims you plenty right, and the way the hole is designed, it favors that draw, and it kind of encourages you to aim away from the OB, which is nice. But I flip a lot of wedges into that hole. It's a great birdie hole, so that's a fun one to kind of, after I've buckled down for holes three, four, and five, because for me, I don't play those particularly well. Six and seven are cool bounce back opportunities, because six, again, flipping a wedge from that probably 40, 50, 60 yard range that I'm able to practice here at Kauffman and then apply it on the course on hole six is a great opportunity to get one back or get one more under par coming through that hole. And then seven is a par five, which is extremely reachable in two. It's a beautiful hole, very straight, but what's cool is you hit your tee shot and you end up, if you're back far enough, you'll end up on top of this hill and you'll kind of hit, the fairway goes really significantly down and then comes back up, and there's a grass bunker that protects the front of the green. There's a bunker on the right, a bunker on the left. But for me, when the course is playing firm and fast, like I'm sure it will be this weekend, considering we haven't had any rain in what seems like a month, I've hit as little as pitching wedge into that hole, which makes it a par five, par four and a half, at the worst. But predominantly, I think the longest club I usually hit into that hole is maybe a six iron. I've hit six iron a few times, but it's only 470 or 80 yards, so it doesn't even hit that 500 mark. So again, a really cool scoring opportunity if you can get home in two or near the green in two and either make an eagle or kind of get a birdie on the card. That's nice. Hole eight is a difficult hole, in my opinion, because the back tees, they stretch that hole out to, 215, 220 yards. So, again, it does kind of quarterback downwind, which is beneficial, but you can't see the putting surface because of the way there's kind of some undulation there on the right side, which is both cool and not cool because, like I said, you can't see probably two-thirds of the putting surface. So when they put the pin on the right, whether it's front, middle, back, doesn't matter, you can't see the bottom of the flag. And so you kind of got to trust your yardage and execute the shot that you're going for and stay committed to that. What's cool is the way this the way this hill and the mounding is, if you do kind of come up short, which is the favorable play, is to take whatever it is the middle of the green and know that you can, hey, you can maybe land about 10, 15 yards short of that middle, and you'll be kind of in that front quadrant, but it'll hit that hill and it'll kick onto the putting surface more often than not, which beats the heck out of the left bunker, because there's a bunker on the left side that's no joke, and I don't like to play out of that. So I avoid that one at all costs. I think I've been in that left bunker more times off of my tee shot on 7 than I have been on 8. And so, but that's a whole nother story. And then when you get to 9, being a drawer of the golf ball, 9 is one of my favorites. It's a fun hole. It's one where you can really bite off a lot of corner if you can bomb it. So if you can tee it high and kind of Phil Mickelson, hashtag hit bombs off that tee, you can really rope one around that corner and have yourself a nice flippy wedge shot in there from anywhere from, gosh, I think the shortest I've ever had is probably like 80 to 115-ish. Let's say that kind of range. But more commonly, you're going to end up back on the top of the hill in the flat for a lot of guys. And then it becomes a little bit more difficult because the green is well protected by some trees and, again, another bunker. But you're probably hitting the shot from a buck 60 to a buck 90. So it can be a more difficult hole depending on how aggressive or conservative you try to play it. So, again, it's just kind of a lot of the guys that I play with, we try and cut that corner as much as we can. But if you leak it right, it does lead to a difficult second shot where par is a good score coming off a 9. But then making the turn, let's talk about 10. 10 is a cool hole, and I strangely enjoy this hole more than I should, because being a drawer of the golf ball, there's no opportunity to draw this one off the tee. This is a fade all day, and you have options. So a lot of guys from the blue tees or the white tees even, I've seen, there's a ditch, there's a big stream that kind of cuts across the fairway on an angle. And so the further right you go up the fairway, if you're trying to lay up, the ditch is closer. Obviously, if you're trying to cover this stream and catch that second quadrant of that second portion of fairway, favoring the right side is beneficial because you have far less to carry. But for me, it's I try and just rip a driver and just squeeze it out there. And if you blow it into the right trees, usually it's not bad because you're splitting 10 and 18. They run parallel to each other, and there's just some big hardwoods in there. And barring a terrible kick, 9 times out of 10, you can just rip one off into the right trees and you'll have a shot. And mind you, it's not going to be a good shot because from that distance, you're probably looking at anywhere from 115, 120 yards and in. And so it's not a great spot to try and bump and run anything. You can't really hit punch shots that are going to chase through the rough here. And so that makes it kind of tough. Or if you can hit one of those high-flying wedges, channel your inner Phil and maybe flop one in there, then you've got a chance, but it's not the easiest. But I like that hole because it's one of those that, for some reason, for being a dog leg right, it still fits my eye, and I enjoy playing that one a lot. 11 is kind of a cool hole I want to note because this one is quirky, and it's quirky in a fun way for me, because this hole requires a ripping hard hook off the tee, and it's not often that you play a golf course where you have a hole where you can take a long iron or a fairway wood, and you want to intentionally hit this ball with about a 30 to 40 yard snap hook, and it's perfect. It's darn near impossible. I have never once missed left of this fairway, no matter how hard I hook it. And again, quirky and strange, but it allows for so much creativity, and I think having the opportunity to be creative and execute some shots that are out of the norm. This course, if you get out here and play it, or if you have played it, you'll find that there's a lot of chances to flex your creativity muscles. It's not always just hit the straight shot down the middle of the fairway, hit the straight shot onto the green. You get to work angles, you get to play some kind of creative shots and work the ball both directions. And so it really opens up the opportunity for a lot of guys to really enjoy this place, no matter how you strike the ball or what ball flight you kind of predominantly favor. So, but this particular shot, just trust me, when you get to 11, just rip a hook. It's the easiest thing to do. I have a buddy he's left-handed, and he somehow, some way, he is able to throw driver up over this tree because there's a tree that is what blocks that left side of the fairway, and you have to rope that low hook around. he has this ungodly ability to go up and over and just bomb it. And so mad props to him. I'll probably, if I'm fortunate enough to play with him this weekend, we play together a lot, but if we end up playing together, I would not be surprised one bit to see him do that and end up within a little pitch shot away from the green, because it is a short hole. And 12 is a par 5 straight away, nothing too crazy. This is probably the least reachable of the four par 5s. This is the longest, and it does require either two very strong golf shots, or you have to lay up. And if you do lay up, the wedge shot is again tricky, because there's a little bit of a depth perception trick here that the architect played. And with that, I mean, there's some bunkering that is probably about 50 or 60 yards short of the green, but because it's elevated and uphill, it's hard to tell and hard to kind of see that. So the flag and the bunkers, they play these visual tricks on you where it's kind of hard to gauge depth. And again, when you can't see the putting surface, it makes it a little bit more challenging to execute and be confident in the club selection or the shot that you're going to hit. But you just got to trust it and trust the number. And again, favor short. There have been too many times where I've been on the back of this putting surface and it's just not a good fit. Superintendent interruption. As I'm kicking it back here on the driving range, he's looking to turn on some irrigation and he didn't want to hose my car, so I appreciate that. Thanks for looking out. But where was I? 12, the par 5. Yes. Again, stay short. There's been too many times where I've been on the back of the screen and coming back from back to front. It is ridiculously fast, and it is far too easy to 3-putt, 4-putt. I mean, you can potentially putt it right off the front of the green if you're not cautious about that. So, again, favor the short side and just take your uphill pitch shot. It's far better than being long. And 13 is a par 3. That one's got good character. Kind of fires you back into the pines a little bit, which is really pretty. And then 14, I would say 14 is probably Kaufman's signature hole. And it's unlike any other on the golf course. And what I enjoy about it is it reminds me of the course I played a lot growing up over in Grand Haven. I used to work at and compete and play high school golf and did everything at Grand Haven Golf Club, which if you're familiar with what that track used to be, it was like hitting down hallways. It was unreal. I mean, that course was so dense and those holes were so heavily tree-lined and so narrow that it was a very difficult course, and it required exceptional play off the tee, whether it was with the irons or driver, whatever you were bold enough to hit. But it was a good golf course, and I do miss it. However, again, that's one that is getting redesigned into American Dunes with the Folds of Honor Foundation, so that's going to be a cool track, and we'll profile that one when the time comes. But they're not open yet, although I have been out there and I have seen some stuff, and it's going to be one to talk about. So we'll get to that, though. Let's stick with Kaufman. And so 14, hitting down the hallway. It's pine trees down both sides, a slight dogleg left. Again, one that I don't hit driver on personally. I tend to just hit the 4-iron or 3-iron, and occasionally if I'm feeling exceptionally bold, I will hit a 3-wood, but it's not usually worth it because it's easier to hit that iron shot and just rope a little draw down there and still just have a good shot into the green, because this is a hole that if you let it get away from you, it will bite you. I mean, I've walked off this hole with double or worse on more than one occasion, so it's, to me, not worth the risk. I'd rather just knock one down the fairway, knock one up on or next to the green and make par. Because you've got some scoring holes coming up. With 15, it's a super short par 4, probably 340 or 50. So another one where you can really take a good cut with driver and flick a wedge in there. I've actually holed out on this hole. I've holed out for eagle twice on this hole by flipping a 50, 60, 70-yard wedge shot in there. And so this one's got kind of a fond place in my heart. I've got good memories on this hole, so I like to take advantage of that one and make a birdie, because then 16 is the last par 5 of the course. And although it's very forgiving off the tee, there's a tree right smack dab in the middle of the fairway that you aim at, and it's hard to get to. If you bomb it, if you're a bomber, you can get to this tree, but it still makes a great target because it's not huge. And by huge, I mean it's not wide. So if you squeeze it a little right, it's perfect. If you squeeze it a little left, it's perfect. And if you can get to that tree, you're probably going to have about 220-ish yards in, if I'm not mistaken. And so again, you got to jump on one, but the second shot's uphill, and when it's playing firm and fast, you can chase it in there, which is cool, but it is guarded by a bunker and you can't again see the putting surface. So you either have to nuke one high and soft, or you got to chase it and just let it do whatever it decides to do once it hits the ground. But it's kind of cool to me. I like that stretch because 15 and 16 are a great back-to-back holes late in the round to grab a couple of birdies coming down the stretch. Because 17 and 18 are holes that you better buckle up for. Because 17 from the back tees, and the back tees and the white tees kind of share a box here, so it's long for everybody. And this hole, I've hit as much as 4-iron in here, and I think I've hit as little as maybe 7. So, I mean, depending on the wind, but it plays every bit of 200 yards on average. And so you're hitting in there to a big green, and it used to be heavily guarded by a tree on the left. They ended up taking that tree out, I think, 2 years ago. So that really opened up a lot, because it used to be an intimidating shot visually. It was one where you felt like, even though the green was big, it's a long hole, so you've got a long or a mid-iron in, and you really felt like you had to squeeze something in there. And so for me, I always kind of made too tentative a swing. I made too steery, kind of guidey swings at it, and it was always tough. But now that they've taken that tree out, it's not as visually intimidating, and so it makes you feel like there's more space, and it kind of frees you up, and it really has helped me out since they've done that, so I appreciate that, guys. And then when you get to 18 to me is a great finishing hole, and it's a difficult finishing hole. And what I mean by that is you have two options again, because now you're coming back to that same ditch, that same stream that ran through 10 runs through 18. And so again, you either have to lay up short or you have to jump on one, and not many guys do it, not many guys that I know can do it, but you can take a cut at driver and you can try and rip it across this stream. But the problem is it's a little dog leg left. The stream goes from right to left, angling across the fairway. So the further left you try to go, the more you have to cover to stay dry. So again, when I hit driver, I tend to bail out and just try and pump one up the right. And if it ends up back on 10, whatever, it kind of leaves you a good angle into the green anyway, so that's not too bad. But again, it's just covering that ditch. Otherwise, if you lay back and stay on the back side of that ditch, if you cozy up to it, you can have 150 in or so, 160. But more often than not, you're looking at 170, 180 into the final par four and the final hole of the day. And so it can be very, very daunting. And what's cool about 18, especially from Kent County Am or any other kind of competitive atmosphere, 18 green is kind of an amphitheater right there, because it's tucked at the bottom of the hill below hole 10 tee box and hole 1 tee box in the clubhouse. So guys can stand up there and they can watch guys come in. And so it makes for a unique experience in that way. So that's a ton of fun and one of my favorite holes as far as finishing holes go in the area. But again, I mean, I kind of ripped through Kauffman really quickly here. I just wanted to give you guys all a good overview of what the course has to offer and kind of the character of it. But where this course shines is going to be in condition. Again, the superintendent takes great care of this place. The greens are second to none as far as public course golf goes. I mean, I know you guys, if you guys get out in some private clubs and stuff, the greens are usually pretty tight and they're fast and they're smooth there. But Kauffman is right on par. I used to work out at Muskegon Country Club, and I play a bit out there, and I've played Spring Lake and some other private facilities in the area. And Kauffman's greens are hands down, they're right on that same level. And so, long story short, get out there, support kind of the Grand Rapids municipal golf that we have to offer here, and play Kauffman, because you're not going to regret it. But heading up to the Kent County Am, I think I've had this recording going for a while, so I'll kind of keep this tight. But leading up to the Kent County Am, I've been, again, staying cool, trying to just relax. I've been dedicating more time to fitness than I have to golf. But my game has been in good shape, and I've felt really comfortable and feel really solid about what I'm going to be able to do this weekend. I did hit some balls today, probably about a half a bucket, because, again, it's 90 degrees outside, and it doesn't take long to be dripping sweat. But I'll come back out tomorrow. I'll probably hit the putting green tomorrow, and then maybe hit a few more balls on Friday just to kind of fine-tune anything that needs fine-tuning, maybe flip some wedges. And I kind of focus on what I'm going to do off the tee. And then, again, I think I talked about this in a previous pod, but it's the tee shots and then the wedge shots that are going to make or break me. So I'm going to get out and work on those. But overall, I feel great. I feel really excited to play. I'm looking forward to this tournament. I look forward to it every year. There have been years I've played well, and if you make the cut, it's three rounds. If you kind of whittle your way all the way down to top 30, I think my best finish here was, I think I finished top 10, maybe tied for ninth or tied for eighth a few years ago. And there have also been events, there are times when I've come out here and I've missed the first round cut. I just played terrible, and the competition's deep. And so if you don't make that first cut, you're out of luck for Sunday for any chance to play. So what's interesting this year is they have had, I think the first year I came back from North Carolina and played in this, they had like 240 guys come out to play, which was super cool. I think it's the entry fee of only $100, potentially three rounds at Kauffman, and great course, great conditions. And they really tuned this course up for this event. This is kind of like the highlight, one of the highlights of their summer. And so it draws a crowd. But this year, unfortunately, due to COVID, of course, they've had to limit the field to 152 guys, which is still a deep field, but they had absolutely no problem filling it. It's been full for a while now. I've got a couple of buddies that got stuck on the waiting list. So I maybe they'll get lucky and get in, but not a lot of people kind of bow out of this event. They love playing it, and they just love the competition and the course. So looking forward to a good weekend there. And I'll keep you guys updated. Obviously, we'll put out a podcast next week and recap how the event went and how the course played. And thankfully, it's supposed to cool off a little bit, so I shouldn't sweat out there too much, at least due to the heat. I might sweat a little bit due to some of the golf shots I might hit or have to hit, but we'll see how that goes. And I'll give you guys kind of an update next week and see how everything shakes out. But thanks again for tuning in. Appreciate you guys as listeners. I've had some awesome messages come through on Instagram, so I've gotten the pleasure to connect with a lot of you guys. And keep them coming, because I enjoy the engagement and enjoy kind of meeting and talking with new people. So anyway, that's at GSmithGolf on Instagram if you want to hit me up. But otherwise, we'll catch up next week. All right, guys, have a good rest of the week and weekend, and stay cool out there.